In the name of God, the Merciful, the Compassionate, I wish to express my greetings to all the dear viewers of the program. We are on the eve of the anniversary of the passing away of Imam Khomeini. May his soul rest in peace. I wish to seize this opportunity and offer my heartfelt condolences on this sad occasion. Well, dear viewers of IRIB Channel 2, this is a televised debate of presidential hopefuls. Tonight, we have two presidential candidates, Dr. Mahmoud Ahmadinejad and Engineer Mir Hossein Mousavi. I wish to greet you both and welcome you. Why don't you have a few words with the viewers of the program? Mr. Ahmadinejad, please.
You mean it's time for us to
speak? You can have a few words with the viewers and we'll go on.
Well, greetings to all the respected and dignified people of Iran. I extend condolences on the demise of the late Imam Khomeini, and I wish every single Iranian prosperity.
Thank you
and success.
Very much, Mr. Mir Hossein Mousavi.
Well, greetings to all honorable viewers. I'm happy that once again through TV I'm talking to you, and I would like to condole with you on the occasion of the departure of Imam Khomeini. We owe our dignity and our honor to Imam Khomeini. I wish you all the best.
Thank you very much. Well, let me provide you with a comment. At the outset, each one of you will have 10 minutes to present your comments. So I will keep track of time and we're going to allocate 41 or 42 minutes. We drew lots and actually Mr. Ahmadinejad is going to start and Mr. Mir Hossein Mousavi will speak for the conclusion. Well, Mr. Ahmadinejad, basically, every person may have certain individual or social concerns. So, since you are the presidential candidate and you are competing in this presidential race, what are your main concerns for running for presidency?
In the name of God, the Compassionate, the Merciful. Well, initially, I thank God Almighty, who gave me the opportunity to serve the great nation of Iran for one term. And I also appreciate our nation for all their support and their backing for me. And I hope that the Iranian nation will always keep its dignity. Commemorate the name of the late leader of the Islamic Revolution and the martyrs and the war handicapped to whom we owe all we have nowadays. Elections is a destiny-making era. Elections in our country is not only picking one single person, it also means people getting energized for taking leaps toward conquering peaks of success and development. The atmosphere, the air of the vote should be one of fervent zeal and excitement. It should be replete with logic, friendship, and convergence and brotherhood. At the beginning, I would like to make some complaints about some unfair and let's call it cruel attitude and approaches and some great lies and sabotaging against the government. In the history after the Islamic Revolution, we never had this, be it in the term of one single government or in the course of an election. We never saw any heavy attack and wave of criticism launched against any government. I think the reason is the friends who decided to enter the stage, they thought maybe they could never compete with this government in any other constructive arena, especially in the field of extensive services of the government, which has been unprecedented in any sector we enter in comparison to previous governments. Of course, they have also rendered some valuable services, but the function of the government, the performance of this government, has been tantamount to performance of several governments. On the international level, unfortunately, great successes of the people have been ignored. The services of the government were totally ignored. I wish they would, instead of launching this adverse propaganda and criticizing, they would put forward a plan. In the electoral campaign, unfortunately, the great people of Iran were insulted. So I regret this deeply. Why should we disappoint people with ourselves? Why should we be so infatuated with power? I personally am keen on, I'm not keen on touching on such issues. 4 years I tolerated all this. I tolerated all the insults directed at me myself. I forgive it all. I still like to forgive all this. I've announced it several times. But I cannot allow people to be insulted and people's choice and actually people's understanding. This I cannot let go. People do not allow me to take it easy on this when they are being insulted, their dignity is being insulted. In my meetings with people in various cities and people from different walks of life, extensively, they come and ask me to go to their defense and defend their positions. The root of these misdemeanors and these lies, these deceptions, these should be publicized. I had already promised people to let them know what's happening. And I think today Mr. Mousavi is not sitting in front of me. It's not Mr. Mousavi alone. It's three consecutive governments in front of me, facing me. It's Mr. Mousavi, it's Mr. Hashemi, it's also Mr. Khatami. The three served in previous governments. Mr. Mousavi supported Mr. Khatami in the previous term, and also he also supported Mr. Hashemi. And Mr. Khatami also supported Mr. Hashemi. As a matter of fact, these people have always been joining forces together, and they have been attacking this government, criticizing this government, and trying to hurt this government. Of course, people know all about this, but the youth should also know, realize the fact that I'm not competing one single candidate. It's a group of people with Mr. Hashemi as an axis and Mr. Khatami and Mr. Mousavi cooperating him, moving against me. The reason for this heavy pressure on me in the past 4 years, and also heavier pressure during the election days, during the electoral campaign, I think this comes down to one thing. In the past three governments, the administrative structures were formed, some managerial chains were formed, took shape, and they went awry. They distanced themselves from its values of the Islamic Revolution. I don't mean that no services were rendered, but gradually there was a current came into appearance. They acted as if they possessed the government and the revolution, and they manipulated, and they had an open hand in doing everything they wanted to do. In the previous election, They stood in front of me, but people defeated them. In the past 4 years, they tried to render this government unsuccessful and try to crush it, but with the blessing of God Almighty and with the support of the people, so far, we have treaded a path. We're here now in the previous election from inside the country, from outside. My rival received backing and support. At the beginning of this very government, Mr. Hashemi sent a message to one of the kings of the Persian Gulf literal states and told them not to be worried. Within 6 months, that this government will collapse. And later on, some people went there and gave them explanations. And that story came to an end. Well, this clearly means planning, extensive planning against this government, whereas this government has been only serving people. And in the short period of 4 years, it has achieved great honors domestically and internationally. Of course, this is the job of the people themselves. You can see that people, their capacities are flourishing and in different fronts, in science and technology, in politics, especially in foreign policy. The people of Iran are being respected among the most respected nations in the world, but all these are being ignored. And the greatest lies and insults in the 4 years, especially the last 3 months, have come our way. Of course, I like Mr. Mousavi, and I've always respected him. But what has been happening in the past 3 months, this is not justifiable for me. Mr. Mousavi, if we want to realize there are problems in this country, we do not have to necessarily have an actor in a bus and show that there is addiction. In the course of the trips you made across the country, you realize that there are problems across the country. Are these problems all created in the past 4 years? What about the 24 years before that? Does it mean that there was a heaven and a utopia and you delivered that to me and your friends delivered that to me and I turned it out of, I turned it to hell and nothing positive has been done? Recently, it's clear that we have employment. You just visited 4 or 5 provinces. I have seen the whole of the country. And if I'm going to talk about problems people have, I should spend all the time of this session to talk about those problems. Still, we'll be short of time. Have you just realized that we have problems? We have no employment, unemployment before, no addiction before, no problems at workshops and factories, no agricultural problems, no issues, industrial problems. Are all of them related to this government term? I wish you had offered a plan. One more sentence. I have one more statement. I was kidding somewhere. I said as a joke. I said, I'm lucky I'm also a candidate or else the 3 other candidates. What would they have to tell people? And I should also add to this that during this electoral campaign, there is no competition between 4 people. There are 3 people against 1. Whatever they say, even the debate last night, it was not a debate at all. It was all against 1 person. I think this is illogical, it holds no water, and we should work on justice.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mir Hossein Mousavi, please.
In the name of God, the compassionate and the merciful, I would like to thank honorable viewers, and very good points were made. And I'm going to just discuss them and give my answers in a methodological manner. First of all, I really wish that Mr. Ahmadinejad had succeeded in his endeavors and I wouldn't touch the problems. If I had the conviction, this conviction, then definitely I would deem it necessary not to enter into the race. I'll make a few points and then I'll talk about the main points. Mr. Hashemi Rafsanjani and Mr. Khatami are great figures and they have to participate in a debate with Mr. Ahmadinejad and give answer to his points. I entered the race because I felt the danger. In fact, I'm not going to touch the era of Mr. Khatami and Mr. Rafsanjani. During the 4 years he's talking about is when I was in power during the lifetime of Imam Khomeini, and if necessary, I will give answer to his points. Overall, I have always loved Iran. And I think that this love is inherent in all of us. I cannot find any Iranian, I think, and not to be honored to be an Iranian and wouldn't be concerned about the future of Iran, or not to be concerned about the difficulties and problems. All want Iran to be great and prosperous. I wished Iran to play a role as the first power in the region in economic affairs, scientific and areas and other fields. So the revolution was in fact launched in order to have a great Islamic Iran, to have an influential Iran, to be able to leave an impact on the world and import its message to the world. But in solving the problems of the country, and in order to achieve the proper place, in our proper place, I think that there are two ways. There can be two managements, in the method of management in this regard. One is on the basis of adventurism and instability and exhibitionism and raising slogans, imaginative moves, and also superstition on the basis of selfishness, self-centeredness, and not abiding by the rule of law, and also on the basis of extreme, going to the extremes. So I'm going to just forward my discussion on the basis of this framework. Okay, another method is very logical and professional moves away from superstition and also on the basis of veracity, faithfulness, relying on the collective wisdom and being futuristic, and also on the basis of moderation. If we want to have a powerful Iran, I think that the second method is more suitable. We have to move on the basis of the second methodology or method. Indeed, you talked about the plans, my plans. I have written my plans and programs, and I think I have three debates which people like to just watch. And I think the debates are complementary to each other, contrary to Mr. Ahmadinejad's viewpoint, because I'll offer my viewpoints during the debates. What is important in this debate is the main incentive for me to enter the race. As a matter of fact, I'm concerned about the future of the country because of the present management of the country. And since you start about the foreign policy, let me touch the foreign policy first, and then I will touch the economic, cultural, and social affairs. One of the main problems we are facing, I will just discuss them case by case so that it will be tangible for all. I'm not going to just talk in general terms. I will give you examples. One of the problems is incompatibility between the slogans and practice. The slogans are away from principles. They are imaginary indeed. You know, When we say that for so and so country is collapsing and we are going to manage the world, these are slogans, and there is no practical backing. Let me give you an example. A few examples indeed. You know, the release of the British Marines. You know, the Marines invaded or encroached upon Iranian waters, and then the forces arrested them. It was a great job and should be acknowledged indeed. But immediately on the basis of the framework I mentioned, in the first place, we said that we have to execute them. Why they have encroached upon Iranian territorial waters, and we created a crisis. And then we decided to give them suits to wear. And then our president, whose status doesn't belong to himself, it belongs to the people, it belongs to you. And then he went there and he saw them off and then said goodbye to them and then arranged a ceremony that we don't even organize for the heads of other countries. Did it really preserve the dignity of our nation? I don't think so. It inflicted a loss, and indeed it undermined the dignity of the Iranian nation, and it created some ups and downs in our foreign policy, and with the cost we pay, we cannot solve our problems. And then the head of the government had a trip to Iraq. Without clarifying, then how he said that they are going to kidnap me. So if they are going to kidnap you, probably the Americans should kidnap you. The Americans, in fact, provided the fuel of the aeroplane that you traveled with. And then in Iraq, we went to Khazra, which is controlled by the Americans, and then you had the meeting over there, and then we had photos with the American soldiers, and the same event happened in Italy, and said, we said that we are going to kidnap us. So should we expand our imaginations to the extent that it would just influence our foreign policy, which is within the realm of our national interest? Should we solve our problems, or should we create some problems so that it inflicts loss on us? And then it's the issue of Saudi Arabia. So I have heard from others, and it has been a number of times. In the past, I was in power. It is very important how we are invited to other countries. And then we gave message to them to invite us to go to Saudi Arabia. And then the friends who are in the foreign ministry have said, and I quote them regarding our demand for being invited to go to Saudi Arabia, and then when we go, there should be some result out of these visits. And then one of the results is the situation that our pilgrims face and our relations with Saudi Arabia. And then quoting the head of that country, we talked something against the foreign minister of that country, and then we created some problems in our relations. Why should we impose this cost? Who is going to pay those costs? And are they really very heavy or not? And then a number of times we have heard that we believe that the United States is collapsing. If it is so, why we have traveled there four times? Why we have written two letters? Why continuously we are after, just in a specific manner, the Swiss president has gone there and spoken in the parliament, and I think he wouldn't take a risk to lie saying that he has been asked to give a message to Obama to talk to us before the elections and to somehow solve the problem between the two countries. Is it in the interest of our country? Is it in our interest? I just enumerate them so that I give the headlines only, because you started from foreign policy. In foreign policy, indeed, we have undermined the dignity of our nation and our country, and it has inflicted heavy damages on us, and we have created problem for our development, and we have created tension with other countries. Only one more minute and then you can count it at the end.
Well, your time is actually over. Please make it
very brief. Well, the Holocaust is another issue. We have just set it forth, and then enduring some losses, again, then, you know, that in international organizations and in Security Council, you know, they have announced that it's a crime to talk against Holocaust, and then, you know, what happened? When I watched the footages, I couldn't believe that our president should be treated in this manner, because he is the symbol of our country. And let me, I will later talk about, quote Imam Khomeini regarding the prestige and dignity of the Iranian nation. And then they announced it as an epoch. Was it an epoch? You know, there was another resolution on Holocaust, and then the relationship between Europe and Israel had deteriorated, but after this event again, because of Gaza, but again, they supported Israel, where we have safeguarded our interest. Okay, since 10 minutes has come to an end, then I will just explain later.
Mr. Ahmadinejad, please.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mousavi. I think if all the judgments that you pass are based on what you said, you should seriously revise all this. I'm telling you as a friend, I like you as a person, and such judgments based on false data and information, it's too bad. Sailors from Britain were arrested. Well, the story, there was a hype. Mr. Blair wrote a letter in which he apologized, and he said, our policies regarding Iran will change those policies. This is a document at the Iranian Foreign Ministry. It's there. And then we divided these issues. One of the best things that the Islamic Republic has done was its attitude toward those British sailors. For 27, 8 years, including Mr. Mousavi's era, they call us anti-human, they call us aggressors and hostage takers. This is what they told the world about us. There, in that incident, we separated the people of England from the government of England. That was the best thing that could be done. Regarding Saudi Arabia, unlike what Mr. Mousavi says, I don't know where, on what basis he's talking about this. In the OPEC meeting we attended, King Abdullah had told me earlier, the previous year, to invited me to go there, to Mecca, and to attend an Islamic summit meeting. I told him that I had no chance, I was just beginning my work. It was the early days of the government, and he said, would you come to Mecca during the OPEC meeting? And I told him, if he invites me, I will go there. And the invitation was only for pilgrimage, the Hajj rituals. It was not a political visit. And it was, Mr. Mousavi should have seen the footage when we entered the place. There was a wave among Muslims, and there were speeches and excitement, and they welcomed, they favored the Iranian nation. Regarding the issue of Holocaust, it's so interesting that Mr. Mousavi in Saudi Arabia, how's the relation with Saudi Arabia? How was the relation with Saudi Arabia during Mr. Mousavi's time? I don't want to mention what happened during the at his time and what story, what happened at the airport. The only thing I want to say is that our ties were severed. He performed in a way that ties with Saudi Arabia got totally severed. And I'm amazed he's worried about ties with Saudi Arabia now. We are also worried about that. Who was writing articles and using harsh criticisms? Some of our friends who are now working in Mr. Mousavi's electoral campaign committee, they never believed in such things. Regarding the occupied Palestine, Mr. Mousavi should remember his own stances in the past. Mr. Mousavi had explicitly announced that we will send military forces along to go stand alongside the Palestinian resistance group to fight against the occupiers. Mr. Mousavi announced that the Zionist regime must be wiped out. But Mr. Mousavi, we're not going to enter these details and talk about tactics. We'll go the wrong way. The general diplomacy today is the most advanced and scientific diplomacy. When the enemy has captured the main positions in the world, if we're going to go play in his field, then we will definitely face failure. That's what happened during Mr. Hashemi's government, during Mr. Khatami's government. The same thing happened, and you supported them. We acted outside of the formulation devised by the great powers, and this is what the late Imam taught us. He never accepted their formulations. Had we accepted their formulations, we could have never started a revolution. Regarding the nuclear program, you definitely know that what was adopted by the previous government in the name of removing tension, it reached a point where our nuclear installations were totally shut down. There were two contracts imposed on our people then. The additional protocol was one of them without parliament ratification, which is against the constitutional law, and the second one was the executive arrangements. In the additional protocol case, International Atomic Energy Agencies are free to inspect any part of Iran anytime they wish to. And the goal is to check out our defense capability and give the intelligence to our enemy. In the second issue in the executive arrangements, if you call it, they said that if there is any thought, any ideas in the minds of our scientists, nuclear scientists, before taking any action, the agency, the International Atomic Energy Agency, should be informed about this. Nothing worse than this could be imposed on a nation. Based on the NPT, we can have any activities 180 days before enrichment. We should notify them in advance. The nuclear installations were shut down. All of them were sealed off. Two contracts were imposed. And within that time, for your information, Mr. Mousavi, seven resolutions of Board of Governors were issued against us, whereas the retreat was absolute. That resolution is more important than the UN Security Council resolution. It's only political what happens in the UN Security Council. But the Board of Governors at the IAEA, the resolution issued by them, is binding legally, and it binds us to do certain things. All the claims made by the International Atomic Energy Agency during this government were settled, and we have the document, the letter from the IAEA explaining that basic issues are solved, and in the midst, Americans raise another claim, and they are following that through, and we never gave recognition to that. In Saadabad, in Brussels, in Paris, what happened there, Mr. Mousavi? Today we are nuclear. For three centrifuges, if you look at the memos of the meetings, you can see we have 7,000 centrifuges working now. Mr. Bush, after all this cooperation Iran had with them in Afghanistan, announced Iran as an axis of evil. There, nothing happened to Iran's dignity. He threatened Iran with military attack. But what about now? Mr. Bush, during his last days, said that we are not after toppling the Islamic establishment. Mr. Obama also expressly said, 27 years during your government, Mr. Khatami's and Mr. Hashemi's government, America was after toppling the Islamic establishment. Today, they announced that we are not after this. Officially, they say this. Which foreign policy has been more successful? Which has brought humiliation for this nation? Which foreign policy preserved our independence? Which gave more concessions to outsiders without any achievements? For 15 years, Europeans said that we want to criticize Iran, and on the table, they raise some issues that Iran is not observing human rights. I asked him two questions about Holocaust. And questioned the whole human rights system in the West. They're crying, they're shouting, Israelis are shouting, people in the West are shouting, and some people say, Iran's dignity is being questioned. How is that? How can you say that? How can we wait for the enemy to come to our soil and then try to confront him? Today, the threat is not directed at Iran. Of course, all this is thanks to people's steadfastness and the sacrifices of the great nation of Iran and the leadership. And I'm surprised, Mr. Mousavi, if he takes a trip outside of Iran, he can see how he's greeted by governments and world nations. How many foreign visits did he make as prime minister? Was Iran humiliated then? The world also respected them, but in the eyes of bullying powers, it was not so. If Mr. Mousavi thinks that we should try to favor and please three, four major powers, this is against the late Imam's ideas and the values of the Islamic revolution, our independence. If we're going to have ties with great masses of people and governments around the world, a great number of foreign dignitaries and personalities traveled to Iran in the past 4 years. 118 members of the non-allied movement supported our
Mr. Ahmadinejad, your time is over.
Mr. Mousavi, I want to tell you that I really like you, but you say that you are worried. I have a question for you. During Mr. Hashemi's government, the inflation rate was 49.5%, $49 billion. Was what we had as foreign debt at his time. Social crises were hitting many of our major cities at that time. A large number of people got killed. Didn't you feel worried at that time? When sanctions were imposed, $20 million, any country that had a contract with Iran over $20 million then was going to be boycotted, and the inflation rose to almost 50%, and you were not concerned at that time. During 18th of Tir, there was a movement that was going to capture Tehran and move toward the government centers, and they were supported from outside them. They were going to have what they called Velvet Revolution. You were not concerned then? And when in the Islamic Consultative Assembly, the Sixth Parliament, actually, they staged a sit-in, and from there they contacted the U.S. Congress and asked them for help. How come you were not concerned at that time?
Mr. Ahmadinejad, your time is over.
We have 45 minutes. Why can't we speak two more minutes now? Weren't you concerned then? Today you're talking about why we mentioned Holocaust. I have my question. Why not raise the issue of Holocaust? Why should we wait for Europeans to come and talk about human rights in our country? Why should we tell them that they have no freedom, that they are exploiting other nations, that they are suffocating world people? Foreign policy of this government stems from people. It rises from the Imam's values, and it brings dignity. You can see that for yourself. The world can see that. How could they retreat? And how can you call this? The red line was the UN Security Council. Okay, the UN Security Council had its resolutions, and they had their sanctions. What happened, and what can they do now? Can we be lenient toward arrogant powers? How is that possible? In Tehran, they wrote articles that the time of the late Imam is gone, is over. You announced, you kept silent. The then government supported that person who wrote that article, and you kept silent. And now you're saying that we're deviating from the Imam's path. I like you, but I cannot forgive the insults being directed at a nation.
Thank you very much. Mr. Mir Hossein Mousavi, please.
Well, you talked about the Imam's line or path. Let me just narrate a memory from those days. Once Israelis attacked South Lebanon, And inside the country, there was a unity, a consensus that we should dispatch forces to expel them from Lebanon and fight side by side by the Lebanese. And the Moti Himmet had to lead the forces, and there were some forces for the deployment of the forces to study in Lebanon. The night before, we had to send the forces. We had a meeting of the three heads of the three heads of the branches of the government, and then Moti Himmet came and said, "Imam has said the way of Quds goes through Karbala. That is, you have to concentrate on your war. You have nothing to do with sending or dispatching forces to Quds." So, you know, we are talking to the government on the same topic. You know, the system decided to say that in order to be compatible with the international norms and follow up its objectives regarding Israel, we should say that we agree with the return of all Palestinian people and even those who have been expelled from Palestine, and then Jews, Christians, and Muslims vote in order to determine their own fate. It is compatible with international norms and law. In other places also, they had the same mechanism in the former colonial powers, and they change their fate. When on the basis of our extremism and our individual inference, we go beyond that. And, you know, while this slogan has been raised for 20 years, and then we go beyond this slogan, then calamity starts, disaster starts, and then instead of isolating Israel, we depict it as an oppressed. In Dubon and in Switzerland, indeed, the Europeans after Gaza were against Israel and were issuing resolutions against it, and they had their own stance, but because our mistake in those two places, because besides inflicting damages on us, all of them gathered, just backed Israel. IPAC, you know, the greatest Israeli institution in the United States, considers this as an advantage for itself. What I say is we should not be imaginary and imaginative in international arena. We should be pragmatic. We should go on the basis of deliberation. The problem that I have with the issues is not on the basis of long, is not regarding the long-term issues or long-standing issues. You know, see whether the foreign policy, foreign ministry experts acknowledge this policy, either in the foreign ministry or in the universities would not acknowledge this policy. We don't have a few examples. We have a number of them. In my election campaign, I have said that where we have extremism, then we go to the extreme, to the other way, to the other side of the spectrum. You know, when we just talk about Holocaust, we don't calculate the cost and the benefits, and we don't know whether we are getting to our objective. And then after these issues, then the deputy says that we are friend of Israeli people, and then saying that after those problems, we are friends of Israel in order to create a balance, and then he doesn't withdraw from his stance, and after there are a lot of protests, and then even then he is not removed. I say that this viewpoint is against that extremism, and similar thing happened in our economic affairs and other affairs, and there are a large number of them. Let me give other examples, although I don't want to talk about the Persian Gulf and then going to Qatar and to United Arab Emirates because they inflict heavy damages on us. The mere speaking about saying that they didn't have any disadvantage, it's not okay, because the people are tasting the impacts in their security, in their economy, in their spare parts, in their interaction with the world, in discrediting their passports in international arena and in humiliation of the Iranians in other parts of the world. Whether the government is not responsible against being an Iranian and against against Iran. I say that in this regard, the government has been negligent of these problems, which are the problems of the people. I really have pity the people with these policies and with the calamities we are imposing on them, the extremisms we go to the extremes, and all these stem from our foreign policy, unfortunately. There was another issue, that is, you talked about Mr. Hashemi. Mr. Hashemi is a great person, and Imam talked about him. You can talk about his weak points and strong points, but I am a bit old, and before revolution and after revolution, I have been in the politics, and the people have fought. In order to say that, for instance, I'm lonely, then you join three terms, and then saying that I'm against all of them. Who is going to accept it? Why are you discussing this? Mr. Khatami is not is not an unknown person. He has been a president for 8 years, Mr. Hashemi too. So you can talk to them. You can just arrange a talk in the TV, and you know that the IRIB is at your disposal. You can invite them to a round table and talk to them. What are they related to me? It has nothing to do with me. I say that your foreign policy has inflicted damages on the country, on us, and this roaring lion of Iran has been caged as a result of your economic policies and also foreign policy. Well, let me touch another issue regarding national solidarity. What are we doing, and what? How are we dealing with the university students, with the people? Wherever I go, there is protest. Wherever I go, they say we have been humiliated, we have been arrested, we have been expelled from university, and so on. So all, you know, I am an intellectual, and I am working in the Academy of Art. You know, a person's book has been published 15 times with the permission of the same government, and then the same government stops it, bans it. You have your prestige, and every government should be committed to what it says, to its signature, and so on. Just, you know, look at the publishers. How many of the publishers during these 4 years have been banned? What problems they are facing? You know, there are things done which are really agonizing, and they are disturbing. You know, all of us have an Islamic Iranian human identity. Suppose that a bookshop whose back is at the wall has published 30 books. It's enough to just ban 4 or 5 of the titles in their new editions, and they go bankrupt as they are. So they feel that they are against the system. Why the artists are against the government? I believe that the artists are not much involved in political activities, but they are really facing problem at national level due to these policies. Well, the clerics also have some, you know, just look at the relationship between the clerics and the religious authorities with the government, and the humiliation of the, an affront to Prophet Muhammad in the education ministry, and what reaction did we show? All this creates some sort of a negative outlook against the government. Well, what I say is, has the government officials thought why the relation between the government as clerics has deteriorated, and also with the youth and with the intellectuals? Wherever I go, there are few people who just raise slogans and disturb the meeting, and then provoke others, and then raise slogans against these policies. And in domestic policies, I'm going to shed a light on what the government does, which is against the 8-point declaration of Imam Khomeini, you know, because you just divide the people into insiders and outsiders.
Your time is over.
Okay.
Well, let me just make this announcement that Mr. Mousavi has been speaking for 21 minutes and Mr. Ahmadinejad has been speaking for 23 minutes. It's now your
well,
turn, Mr. Ahmadinejad.
Mr. Mousavi, if you allow me, I will repeat what I said. Mr. Mousavi, I sometimes feel sorry. You raise some questions, some issues that shows that you're misinformed. One of them I'll just give you more explanations, like what we call the START students. How did that happen? Where did they come from? And they are raising all the blame on this, putting the blame on this government. I don't know why that is. The issue of START students took place some 8 years ago during Mr. Moin's, who is Mr. Mousavi's friend. In the master's degree, they had one star in front of the names of students. Means you have problem. There's something wrong with your documents, and you should go and remove that shortcoming and complete your documents. If you had two stars, it means you have a problem with the disciplinary committee. You have violated a law, or you have done something, and you have to be careful. During Mr. Moin, this started, and during our government, we abolished this. This is an insult to students. And the minister in our cabinet abolished this. And Mr. Mousavi, instead of blaming his own friends, his own ministers, he's blaming us, criticizing us. And I'm really regret this. How can you pass such a judgment? Some people come together, get around you, and support you. We do the same thing. People get around us. Yesterday I was in Mashhad. There were thousands of people. Aren't they the people from this country? Why do you think people who support you, they're only human beings, and they're the people of Iran? You are trying to separate people. You're dividing them. If you look at these, I have these for you here to see. You talked about books. Well, yeah, I agree with you. I wrote a letter to the Minister of Islamic Guidance and Culture, and statistics show that compared to Mr. Hashemi and Mr. Khatami's governments, we have had the least censorship. Of course, I do not accept that. My letter to the Minister of Islamic Guidance and Culture is here. Mr. Mousavi has been Prime Minister for 8 years, and only there was one newspaper to criticize you. Only one newspaper. And once or twice a week, they criticize you economically. And the statistics that I have here, it affirms all those criticisms. I'll talk about them now. What atmosphere did you create at that time? You yourself, how many times you talked against that newspaper? I have your lectures against that newspaper. You should remember all this. This is recorded. You said that you are in the line of the enemy. You are acting against the revolution. You said that you are hurting, you are harming the country. Whereas the report published in that newspaper was about your own budget plan. And it was in the Parliament's Agriculture Commission, and that person, one of those people, had written a critique on that. You pressured, and they stopped writing those reports and articles. If you look at all these 4 years, these are the titles of the insults against me and my government, all the accusations and insults. I tolerated all these. In your addresses, you called me a dictator. Is this dictatorship? During Mr. Hashemi, it was the same story. When you asked me not to compare them, we have to compare these. There was only one newspaper criticizing the government policies. The president himself adopted position against that newspaper and finally silenced that newspaper during Mr. Khatami's government. It was the same story. Nobody had the right to criticize. The same scholars and clerics that you were mentioning, if one of them criticized, they would draw his caricature. And after nationalization of oil, nobody drew a caricature of a cleric, but you saw 30 titles and newspapers, plots against the government, and talks of treason against the government, against the president, and he silenced them all. And for your information, again, during in universities, this never happened, that a university lecturer or a model researcher to talk about research. He wrote an article against research policies, and the university officials insulted him, and they provoked a group to raise slogans against him. We shouldn't forget these. When I mentioned the fact that Mr. Mousavi Khatami and Mr. Hashemi, this is right, I should say that, compare them together. In a meeting where your wife and Mr. Khatami was present, he elaborates on this. He says that the time of reform is a continuation of construction. In this government, this trend has been harmed, and we want Mr. Mousavi because he wants to continue the same path. That means what Mr. Hashemi, the aristocracy Mr. Hashemi started in this country, is going to be continued. The worries are not, people know all about this. You said that you are proud of Mr. Hashemi's support for you. What does that mean? It sure has a meaning. We believe that he's actually the main player. We know who is running whose electoral campaign committee and what meetings, who's organizing those meetings and campaign. There is a connection. You cannot say there is no connection. We cannot close our eyes. People can't ignore all these. What are these chains? I'll cite some examples for you. One of them I just mentioned. Tolerating the opposition. What's happening in this government? 320,000 titles insulting my government. We never closed down any newspaper, nor threatened anybody, nor pressured anyone. They're still writing things against us, with in your support and against us. They're still busy writing. You raise different issues against this government. Let's compare. That's why to remember what happened in the past three governments and what's happening now. You said that relations with the clerics, you mentioned that. You were, how many times did you visit the clerics during 8 years as prime minister? Let us know. Let us and the people know the relation between this government and the clerics is a very good one. Why do you raise such a claim? It does not mean violation of freedom. It's a very good, we have very good ties. And I'm surprised why people who have not talked about main issues, more important issues, why do they go to such details and try to actually get to general conclusions? You said that the government is not abiding by the law, is acting like dictators. Do you remember the time you were in charge against the constitutional law, the minimum powers of the president with the, you stripped the president of his rights? You had to have your ministers confirmed, but what you did was the late imam had to interfere, and he appointed a group to select and to approve of the cabinet ministers. That means the president himself had no authority to deal with that because of what you did. Among the MPs, who dare talk against you? Do you remember what your friends did? Once a group of parliamentarians voted against you, and it was done in secret, of course, the voting was done in secret, the names were extracted, they were publicized, and they called them American Islam, and some of them had to go home and retreat from politics. This atmosphere of tolerance, this is what happened in that government and the government after that. I do not want to mention some of these issues, but I really have to because you're mentioning some points which makes me raise such issues. Why do you consider yourself and talk on behalf of the Islamic establishment? I had my own position regarding the Holocaust, and the leader approved of that, and the nation approved of that. Who in this establishment is against that and has another, a different opinion? If you're talking on behalf of the people, people in different situations have announced their positions. You accuse the government of not following the law. I don't want to talk about the 95 million tumans without parliament ratification disappear in your government, and then the parliament, there was a row, actually.
Well, Mr. Ahmadinejad, your time is up.
10 minutes is over. One more statement only. I just want to talk about the university degrees a little bit. Mr. Khatami, you called him a doctor. Do you know that based on regulations, one can be called a doctor who has a doctoral degree from university or has had a comprehensive? He has a bachelor's degree in philosophy, but you called him a doctor. Regarding the file of a lady, can I talk to you about an educational record of a lady? Yes, should I say that? Are you sure?
Okay. Yes.
When my turn comes.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mousavi.
Well, one of the problems that I have, and which is one of the problems of our country, is the method that we are facing in this session too, that is creating fake faces for others and adventurism, problems like we have some problems or cases like the interior minister. If the head of the government didn't know that the interior minister had only associated degree but introduced himself as a PhD, so if he didn't know, he is sure that information, otherwise, I don't want to touch it. So on the basis of this, we are pitted against the parliament and against the people, and also the dissertations and PhD, and we consider the thesis and also the certificates as a piece of paper, and then we just have trust in the same person, and contrary to the law, we just when he was the interior minister, then a contract of $10 billion was discussed at the office of the same interior minister by the head of the state, and then one of his deputies says that I was just passing by the gate of the ministry, and then I realized that they were discussing about the head of a company, and then I joined them. All this create some sort of suspicion about very bad problems in the country, which are really disturbing, and one of the problems that the government faces is these kind of treatments or policies, and when they cannot be when they cannot resist, then they remove the minister, and then another minister is appointed who has some cases regarding Erbil, and he has a lot of problems, and then he has billions of 2 months of riches or hundreds of billions, and then he is put at a place, that is contrary to the criteria that Imam Khomeini set for us. These are all questions, and because it is said that he's involved in transit of oil and so on. I'm not going to touch them. Let me touch the issue of evading the rules and regulations or law. I believe that the minor dictatorship just came to power because of evasion of law, because it was a prelude saying to the people that we can evade the law. Reza Khan came to power when the people was used to evasion of law passed by the parliament on the basis of human rights or just prevailing norms and other standards, they were evaded. There are many cases or points here. The government, not only in one case but two cases, has opposed imposed the law. And really, I fear that. I'm concerned about it. I don't say that God forbid he wants to become a dictator, but suppose that for 8 years a government rejects the law or evades the law and saying that I don't like it and so on. This is selfishness or self-centeredness. Saying that I don't like this, it is not in the interest of the government. It just reduces my power and so on. And if the people get used to evasion of law, then what will happen? For 8 years, we behave in a manner that the head of the government and the government evade the law. Then after 8 years, I don't say in this government, then if someone comes to power who just capitalizes on the same sense, then what will happen to the country? Well, let me just make other points. Evading or refraining from implementing the fourth development plan. There are strange discussions about this. I don't know. I wonder if the government can treat a law just like this, because it's opposed to a law. It should be replaced by another law approved by the government and then implement that, saying that I don't. So I'm not going into the details because I want to save my time. And if necessary, I'll discuss them. And then dissolution of the high councils and refraining from implementing the enactment of the parliament and the expediency council, then the government insists that I'm not going to implement them. On different excuses, I don't think that we have any higher organization or institution than the expediency council, which is supported by the leader of the revolution, and is so important that on the basis of expediency, it can go beyond the Sharia. We have discussed all this over there, and then 18 councils that were dissolved by the government were approved by the council to be restored, but the government hasn't restored them yet. So one of them is the monetary council, and you know, the 25% inflation is because one of the reasons for this inflation is the dissolution of the council. Another problem is that the government wants the control of all the banks and all the organizations, so that the representatives of the judiciary and the private sector are not there. So as a result, we just face this inflation and the economic situation. The industry is facing problem. Inflation is 25%, and everybody is just crying. These are the result of those policies. You know, the liquidity is 2.5% more, 2.5 times compared to the time that you just came to power. I'm not going to refer to the procedure, to the proceedings of the parliament and regarding tribunal, which is one of the most important tribunals. The dissolution of the budget and organization planning, budget and planning organization is one of those problems. I'm very sensitive about this organization, because when I was in power, I thought that some people may be opposed to plan, because some people were opposed to plans in the early days of the revolution, because they said, just trust in God and we don't need plans. They wanted to go their own way. Because of this problem in the parliament, in the Council of Revision of the Constitution, I was in the executive committee, and then specifically I proposed the establishment of the plan management and plan organization, and also the employment organization, and they have been incorporated in the constitution, but now you have dissolved them and just reduced it to a deputy or to the directorate, which is not accountable. Also the taxation. If necessary, I'll go into the details. Also, you have announced the banning of the value-added taxes, which is not within your prerogative, and also the government services. I'm just listing them, because if necessary, and then also you wanted to add the Hajj organization to the tourism organization and heritage organization, and then on the hint of the leaders, you just restored it. You shouldn't do it, because it is illegal. And also lack of attention to the courts, to the law regarding the courts. In a case, the Minister of Science says that asks the administrative tribunal not to do so, And he's very proud of that. He says, addressing the university president, who is also a war victim, says that in case, the president should interfere in the case. And then many times it has been said that the university professor is so and so, and he has written a letter. He might be opposed to that person, and through legal procedures he can remove him, but inattention to the cordon certificate and also violation of the law of having more than one job or designation and so on. I think that instead of just creating of forging cases against others, it's better to just solve the problems, to solve the difficulties of the country, to save the country from the crisis. I very honestly and without any personal involvement, I enter the race because the government is evading the law. If the government not once, not twice, not thrice evades the law and just consider it as a method and procedure to oppose the law wherever it is against its interest, while the parliament has approved those laws, which is also in line with the president, then when the people lose their sensitivities to this issue, so should we feel the danger? Shouldn't we be concerned about these developments?
10 minutes is over. Well, let me just inform our viewers that Mr. Mousavi has been talking for 30 minutes and 51 seconds, and Mr. Ahmadinejad spoke for 34 minutes and 17 seconds. Mr. Ahmadinejad, please.
I should repeat what I said before regarding the judgments of Mr. Mousavi. This government has trampled upon law. You're referring only to one government parliament ratification, and there's a law on councils. The Guardian Council says no, it's against the Constitution. Experienced Council accepts that. If you want to implement the law, and why don't you write to the body in charge to complain against this? If there is anything against the law, there is a government body to
look into this. Well, Mr. Ahmadinejad, you only have 8 minutes left.
We have 45 minutes.
If we have more time, we will still distribute the time.
I think you should continue this for 3-4 hours, because for the past 3 years they have been attacking us all together, and you give us 45 minutes, three people facing one person? Okay, no problem. Based on documents we have at hand in the previous government, the number of the government ratifications which were annulled were 303. In our government, it's 157. The ratifications that were annulled by the Administrative Justice Department is again much lower than the previous government. Who is abiding by the law? We are acting based on exactly the regulations stipulated. If you ask some lawyers, they will set you straight on that. If you think we're acting against the law, why didn't you pass a note to the Administrative Justice Department, and they will see to it? If you simply mention this X happened there and Y happened somewhere, this is a great country, and maybe lots of things happen in different corners. In your government, many things happen too. We are not after creating, fabricating dossiers and files. Mr. Cordon's story is this. During Mr. Hashemi's government, who is a supporter of Mr. Mousavi, there was a wave created among managers, government managers. All of them wanted to get doctoral degree, and the Azad University was behind this, and they were issuing doctoral degrees one after another in a row. And there was a wave. Cordon was also among one of those officials. I told in Parliament that I do not recognize such certificates and degrees. A university lecturer, a PhD holder, or somebody who should burn a lot of midnight oil and take a lot of pains. There are lots of people in this country studying hard. I said, I do not recognize any of these. Can you tell us how many people during your time and Mr. Hashemi's time, how many people got their PhDs? Like that, Mr. Kurdan was also one of them. In Parliament, I said the same thing. Look at his performance. Forget about his degree. Regarding somebody else who said that there are hundreds of billions, millions of dollars, I really don't know if he was an army commander. Was an army commander during Mr. Khatami's time. He entered economic activities, business activities, and he created some wealth. Then I told him to put that job aside and join the government, and he did so. But many of your cabinet ministers, did they join you empty-handed? They got lots of concessions, benefiting from the dollar-real parity rate, and they created great wealth. There is a long list. I don't want to give names here. You say that they created great wealth. What are Mr. Hashemi's sons doing in the country? Which one of my ministers during their time in office possessed any mansions and created wealth, generated wealth for themselves? I have a list of the land that officials got, 40 hectares, 50, 80 hectares, 400 hectares plots of land. This happened during the transfer ownership that started before this government. Who possessed all these? Those who are supporting you now. The great cost of your propaganda, your campaign, where does it come from? I respect you, Musa, but where does all that money come from? One from Rasht Electric Industries, without any bidding, they gave it to Mr. Karbashi's wife's relatives. Everything went to them, and tens of such cases. 400 hectares in Hormuzgan province, and people have problems on 2 hectares to create employment for their youths. And this is called lawlessness, Mr. Mousavi. Stud oil is called lawlessness. The person comes here, he's accused, convicted, and then he flees from prison and he's outside of Iran. And Mr. Hashemi's son has been after this. Lawlessness is seen in the sons of some of these people who are supporting you today. What about Mr. Natov's son? How did he come to millions of dollars? How did they become rich? That is called evading the law and not abiding by the law. In this government, we never accepted. We never said we don't accept law. You can't mention one single case. I have only one more statement to make. I have a dose here from a lady. Here, you know the lady. In your campaign, she sits next to you, which is against all the regulations. She studied 2 master's degrees, one in Azad University. She got PhD without attending the university entrance exam. And then she's now an assistant professor without having qualifications. She's now heading a faculty. This is lawlessness. This is what I'm opposed to. Runs and concessions going to some people and depriving others of all this. I am law-abiding. My government abides by the law more than anyone else. And the last point to make is I did not mention statistical figures. When the economy is hurt, the best economic situation belongs to this time. Referring to yours is compared to your time, it's excellent. And we have detailed reports and we have the statistical figures all here. But my question for you is the late Imam annulled and canceled the admission committees. He annulled them all in your government, not ours. One of your relatives, I was working with him during the the university admission committee. There was a file, a dossier from a lady. They asked her a certain question. If she answered that question, they said, well, she has been very good. So she's gone.
Well, this is my time. So you should write something to the administrative tribunal. Is it the way to just face the parliament or treat the expediency council where the elders are sitting and the senior politicians are there and the legitimacy comes from the leader? Can we really rule the country in this way? This is the main problem I have with you. You know, in evident issues, we behave in a manner and we speak in a manner that instead of just accepting the mistakes and saying that, okay, we want to correct something, so instead of that, you know, you don't do this. I didn't say that you are a dictator, but this leads to dictatorship. Definitely it leads to dictatorship because you just give priority to your own vote compared to the parliament and to the expediency council. And you are talking about mentioning the names. I think it is below the dignity of the head of the government to mention the names of those who, you know, who have not been condemned in the judiciary. It is a crime to mention them without giving the just time to defend themselves. You are attacking some people who are not present here, and then you just intermingle them with my faith, and you didn't have anything against me, and therefore you connect me to the previous two terms to governments. So without deciding to defend them, it's really their right to be angry against you, and the people will not accept this from you. Don't you know that what Mr. Hashemi or Mr. Khatami have done in this country? They have been president, but you as a citizen at least should give right to them when they cannot defend themselves in at least in a 50 million a scene where the people are watching. You are mentioning the name of his family members, his sons, and so on. You know, this reason that of the judiciary. I'm telling you, and the judiciary means someone is condemned. That is, the others are just acquitted. This is an Islamic principle. From the beginning of your term, you said that there are thousands of corrupt people, and I'm going to mention their name, and you removed the head of the Parsian bank and then appointed him as your advisor. These are sins. We are Muslims. We are faithful. We believe in God. So we cannot just out of blue mention the name of the people and accuse them. Regarding the delegation or transferring of the hectares of the lands to others, if they have done so, it is wrong. It has got nothing to do with me. Why you say that the people support me? I have said every citizen is a headquarters. You know, contrary to those who are using the government offices, the government facilities, the interior ministry, the television, they are using for themselves. You know, we have a very clean headquarters, and there is no even a single word against it. We have very clean people and very faithful people. If they were there, I know that you would name them, but they are not there. They are clean people. And it's open. Anybody who wants to support me, let them support. There is no problem to oppose them. I welcome the entire nation to support me so that I get the vote, so that I bring about the change. This is my intention, and I announce it right now. If I'm addressing the people, if you want to change this situation so that others do not accuse others, you know, in front of me, he is just showing the photo of my wife saying that she has done so and so. She is one of the intellectual women of the country. She has worked for 10 years for her PhD in political science, and we have all the documents, and the sites related to you have created some wrong atmosphere against her. She is one of the researchers of Quranic studies. One of her honors is that she has MA or MS in art, and also she is MA and PhD in political science. When there was entrance tests for Azad University, you just study those days. One of the problems of the government is that the executive deputy, the deputy president for executive affairs, instead of solving the problems of the people, is trying to find cases in order to just fabricate something against others so that they use it for tonight. So I am coming. I am just coming in order to change this morale, this spirit. What is in the eighth point announcement of Imam Khomeini is against this spirit, against just tarnishing the students and so on. He says that starring the students started during the time of Mr. Moin, it was bad, but I don't think that they used to beat the people and other people as they do right now. Please don't take my time. See, we want to behave in a just manner. If, see, I didn't speak about you for 4 years. When then it came to the extreme, I thought it is my duty. I didn't have any other incentive. I realized that you are endangering the country. In other problems, I will just discuss about the economic issues, how you are just managing the country. The money council has just turned the country into your backyard. It is just like the Qajar era. What did Aghasi do? He had a treasury and he used to allocate money to so and so. You know, the council of money is in order to limit your power and my power. The management and planning organization is ordered to prevent you from expending as you like. Then they take you into task. You know, according to some organizations, then there are some money lost and there are many cases. It is in your interest, it is in my interest, and it is in the interest of the entire nation. You didn't do so. So I am talking on the basis of my sympathy. See, I am putting for the problem. If it continues and if I go into the details of other aspects, then we realize that the inflation, unemployment, addiction, and also this wrong culture and our defeat in foreign policy all stem from that problem, and we don't have a close friend in the region which stems from the same problem. All these stem from the framework that I mentioned. I'm going to read it for you again. See whether these problems are influential or not, or effective or not. I am just going to enumerate some of the features of this kind of management which is leading us towards a deadlock. How much time do I have?
You have approximately
4 minutes.
Close to 4 minutes.
Okay, I think it's worth mentioning the policies and the framework once again, although unfortunately the time is running, we are running out of time, but Mr. Ahmadinejad forces me to say something that I didn't like to say. So it is an excitation management basis, slogan, imagination, and superstition. You are saying that the U.S. is collapsing, the Israel is collapsing, France is collapsing, and so on. So on the basis of this slogan, we formulate our foreign policy, which leads us to nowhere, and then selfishness and evasion of the law. So if a person is not self-centered, then he would welcome law, and through law and legal measures solves the problems, even if he doesn't like the law. Then we have some problems regarding just day-to-day affairs and so on. These have created a problem for our country, and I believe that the damages inflicted on us during these 4 years are very heavy, and all these justify my presence in the elections. My message to the people is I just belong to the people, I go to the people, they will judge, and they can judge about this period and this term, and they realize whether the procedures, policies are okay or not, and they can make decision. So it is dangerous for our country. This is why I am entering into the race, and then the destiny will be decided by God and the decision of the people.
You have 1 minute.
I have 1 minute? Okay. I would like to thank my nation, the nation. I know that they really I just invite them to pay to just analyze the issues very deeply, humiliation of the people, and then asking them to follow the car through one letter. It is not okay. We have to create employment. We have to create our production, to consolidate our production. We have to strengthen our industry instead of just importing basmati rice in Resht. I went to Hamadan. It's really funny. The main product is garlic. They said that they have imported garlic from China. We cannot really cultivate it. We have to remove this problem, to solve these problems. We have to have some sort of enchantment to our nationalism, Iranian, being an Iranian. You know, our industry and our agriculture is not too weak, and our culture is not weak to be exposed to these problems. And I wish that the outcome of these talks and debates will be in the interest of the Islamic revolution of Iran, God willing.
Thank you very much. I wish to thank you both, appreciate you both. You had equal time for delivering your speeches. Of course, the national media is willing to continue the debate, but based on the views of the Commissions for Publicity Works, this is the role that has been designated. Thank you very much, and goodbye.
Raised all the allegations, then says, I don't want to mention these. It's so interesting.
Well, there you have it. For those of you who are just joining us for the news in brief, welcome. You just missed a heated, in-depth debate between incumbent President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, vying for a second term in office, and as opinion polls show right now, his top rival, Mir Hossein Mousavi, vying for his position to be the next president of Iran. A lot covered. If anyone had any criticisms that yesterday's first debate wasn't really a debate, they can't say that for this one. From the nuclear program, discussing the Holocaust, the education system within the country, the arts sector within the country, foreign policy, economy, it was all there, and it even got a bit close to home at points as well. Just to give you a briefing of what was said, a lot said throughout that last hour and a half. Toynkos gave President Ahmadinejad the first turn to speak. They spoke in 10-minute speeches in four rounds. President Ahmadinejad started by saying that the elections should be destiny-seeking elections filled with logic, friendship and conversing. But he started off with some complaints, and he had said in the coming days that he was going to air his grievances out in this debate. He had a complaint, he said, that lies had been given against his government, which were unprecedented in the history of the revolution. He said maybe this was because the other side thought they couldn't compete against him. And he said, especially on the nuclear issue, there has been complaints made against him and accusations made against him. He said, I tolerated this for 4 years, but this is an insult of the people's choice to elect me and their dignity. And he did mention at the beginning of his first speech that this is not just Mir Hossein Mousavi sitting in front of him, but three consecutive governments and presidents, that of Mr. Hashemi and Mr. Khatami, and that really a running theme throughout President Ahmadinejad's four speeches. He said what has happened in the last 3 months is unacceptable, as those criticisms against his government have increased. He said there are problems in the country, but didn't these problems exist in previous governments? Did your friends, implying to Mir Hossein Mousavi, of course Mir Hossein Mousavi endorsed by former President Khatami as well, he said, did your friends hand me utopia 4 years ago? And then it was handed over to Mir Hossein Mousavi for his first 10-minute speech. He said, I wish Ahmadinejad had been successful in his endeavours. Mr. Rafsanjani and Mr. Khatami are great figures, said Mir Hossein Mousavi, and have given their answers in previous debates. Going on to say that he's always loved Iran, and that he wants it to be the pillar in the region. He said there are two methods of management to gain a powerful Iran, one of adventurism and stability and exhibitionism, and one with logic, professionalism, and that is futuristic. Amir Hussein Mousavi saying the second is the path to go. He says he has written plans and programmes and has made them clear, responding to criticism by Ahmadinejad, that there is only attacks against Ahmadinejad in the run-up to this election and not much concrete in terms of plans. Amir Hussein Mousavi saying there's incompatibility between slogans and the applicability of action, mentioning the UK Marine situation, also mentioning remarks on the Holocaust made by President Ahmadinejad, also remarks about relations with Saudi Arabia. And we went into round two of those 10-minute speeches with Ahmadinejad having his comeback. He's him saying that Amir Hussein Mousavi's judgments were based on false information. And again, another running theme through his speeches. On the UK Marines, he said Tony Blair, the then Prime Minister, had written a letter of apology to Iran. On Saudi Arabia, saying that relations were severed during former Prime Minister Mousavi's time as Prime Minister. And then he said, talked of a scientific diplomacy that has come about in modern times. And he said scientific diplomacy means you have to play by certain people's rules and perspectives. And if we accepted these frameworks, he said, there wouldn't have been a revolution 30 years ago. It's the eve of the late founder of the revolution, Imam Khomeini's passing as well. So that's particularly important as well. And then the talk of the nuclear programme. He said previous government actions had aimed at releasing tension, but they ended up closing the country's nuclear installations. And then it was a tit for tat. Seven resolutions from the Board of Governors by the IAEA, Ahmadinejad said, were passed through previous governments that he says are allied with Mousavi, and that today the threat is not facing against Iran. And Bush used to talk of war with us, Ahmadinejad said, but now in his last days and Obama's messages are very different. And he talked of inflation because a big criticism against President Ahmadinejad has been the inflation in Iran at about 25%. President Ahmadinejad then talking of former President Rafsanjani's rule when he said there was 49.5% inflation, asking Mousavi why wasn't he concerned then, but he seems very concerned now. And then again Mousavi took his turn to speak, talked to the Palestinian issue, saying we support the return of all Palestinian refugees. He said the comments at the Durban conference were counterproductive as Europe allied with Israel again after that conference, saying that there should be a pragmatic, not imaginative approach to international and foreign policy. And the debate continued, touching on different things such as education, the students' protests that are going on, both sides saying that they've seen protests against the other point of view, and there was talk of the arts, publishers, Mir Hussein Mousavi saying publishers are being closed down and there's pressure on them. As we went into round four, the last round of those 10-minute speeches, Ahmadinejad said, if there was something against me that I had not done legally, Mousavi should have gone to the Administrative Judicial Board. Talking about government ratifications, because Mir Hussein Mousavi criticising Ahmadinejad about those that had not been accepted by the Expediency Council, Ahmadinejad saying that 303 ratifications were annulled during the previous government, but only 157 in his. He did say in previous ally governments, ministers received many concessions, including land. But the last words for President, former Prime Minister, Mir Hussein Mousavi, he did talk to the nation directly, saying that he wants to change the morale, he wants to change the situation, he wants to change the management. And he said, I belong to the people, I would go to the people and they would judge. That's something that neither contender can deny. Judgment Day will be on June 12th. We'll be covering the elections and the run-up to them intensely here on Press TV. Stay tuned. More of these debates to be aired live with us, as well as our election news coverage. Iran Today's covering the run-up to the elections as well. And don't forget the website, presstv.com. Do stay with us.